This is Comic Shenanigans, episode 1027B, Comic Talk, Breaking News, Amalgam Omnibus. Welcome to the Comic Shenanigans Podcast. This is episode 1027B, or 0.5, whatever you really want to call it. It's a breaking news bulletin. I'm your host, Adam Chapman. I am joined by my co-host on the other end of the tin can, Nathan Struck. Nathan, say hello.
Hi, everyone.
So today I wanted to talk about something, and I didn't really have a spot in terms of our schedule. We have an interview that went up last week with Mark Bagley. We have an interview going up this week with Glenn Greenberg. The following week is another interview just packed with stuff, or actually it's a Book of the Month Club is coming out next week. So there just wasn't a spot to talk about something that I really wanted to talk about, which was the breaking news this week that we're going to be getting DC versus Marvel omnibuses, not just one, two. One of them is going to be focused on the Amalgam Age of Comics, and the other one is going to have a ton of crossovers that Marvel and DC had done over the years, with one very large notable exception, but the rest are, it's going to be chock-a-block with crossovers. So, Nate, what did you think when you saw this officially break the other day on, I guess, Tuesday the 13th?
Well, I don't really know what I can say or should say. Okay, I'll say this. We had already been talking about this before the news articles were printed or were made. So it was with hot anticipation. It was with great anticipation, rather, that like we had heard scuttlebutt. We had had word, and so we were kind of, the sky was the limit, and we were thinking about what we would like to see and high quality, you know, reprints for some of these books that you know, you have of course gone through the extra effort to obtain some of the trade paperbacks that have come out, with some of the amalgam collections in Marvel versus DC, and how some of them are really not available at all at a reasonable price. And even the ones that we have are kind of more of a newsprinty kind of feel to the paper. And, you know, I was over at your place the other day with Paul, and we were looking through your trades and going like, oh yeah, this Marvel versus DC stuff is fun. But, you know, the original printings were super high glossy, and the reprints are, or the collections are not great, and how great it would be to get a collection and this and that. So we have, it's been in the air.
It has been in the air, so I should at least mention, so what you're kind of vaguely referring to is, on a Sunday evening, I had shown you guys that Barry Kitson, who's an artist who had worked on a lot of stuff, had, on a private art group on Facebook, had mentioned he was looking for, you know, he had been tasked to look for some original art that might be used as back matter in an upcoming collection of some stuff he'd done, including the Magnetic Men. He actually worked on the second Magnetic Men book in the second wave of Amalgam books, as well as a Batman Punisher crossover he had drawn. So, pretty innocuous stuff. I saw that. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. So, being being who I am, I reached out to Barry, because I've talked to Barry before, and was like, hey, can you give us any, you know, news about this? Like, I haven't seen this reported anywhere else. Can you let me know anything about this? Anyways, the next day, he's like, oh, DC told me and I shouldn't have talked about this. And I'm like, yeah, delete the post. Like, pretend it didn't happen. But Bleeding Cool had already got a hold of it. And then Bleeding Cool blew this thing out of the water with an article that I laughed about, because it's not really journalism to me. It was just basically just reporting what Barry had said on a private forum, but exposing it for the entire world. And so now everyone was latching onto this and speculating what this meant. And the articles did not make it sound like speculation. They just were like, they're doing this, but no one had confirmed this. And I felt so bad for Barry, being at the center of this firestorm of interest and intrigue. And then on Tuesday the 13th, sometime in the morning, and I will actually admit something to you, Nate, that I did not admit to Paul. I had not seen the news before Paul had actually shared it with us. I had a busy day of work, And he's like, well, you probably know about this. I'm like, oh my God, this is official confirmation. So yeah. DC and Marvel, I guess, leaked it to every major, you know, comic book news outlet that they are doing this. I believe it's August the 6th. We're going to be getting two different omnibuses. That was the big thing. We didn't know what format. We didn't know if this was going to be a series of soft covers or a series of omnibuses. We had no idea what to expect, but we're getting two omnibuses on August the 6th this year. We have the DC versus Marvel omnibus and DC Marvel, the Amalgam Age omnibus. Now, so far, they've produced a list of stuff that was going to be included, and so far there's a lot of exclusions. So people are really wondering if there's other stuff that they haven't said or if there's going to be another collection, because in the Amalgam Age omnibus, not all Amalgam books are listed so far. Yep. Now, you do, however, have DC versus Marvel, issues 1 of 4, and you have both Access miniseries that I'm sure a lot of people were clamoring for, but they're both here in their entirety. But there are some notable exclusions. One of them is there was two Spider-Boy books. Only one of them shows up here. So we don't know if this is actually an official full listing or if there will be others, because in the press release, it just kind of said, and more. We all took that to be back matter, but maybe it's actually issues that they didn't specifically mention. So it's very interesting that they're doing that. This feels like something that maybe is only ever going to be printed once. Who knows? But for me, it's like first day buy. Want to make sure I don't miss the boat on this. Just happy to have both of these kind of Titanic collections. What I'm really excited about is the DC versus Marvel omnibus, because there's a lot of crossovers in there, but some of them, I admit, I've never actually read. I've never read the Uncanny X-Men and the New Teen Titans. It's supposed to be one of the best ones they ever did. I've never actually seen it. In fact, I almost bought it a week ago, and I'm like, glad I didn't. It's going to be in a high quality, you know, reprinting here. So that was one of the ones I'm really excited about. And I don't think I've ever actually read Superman and Spider-Man, and I believe that is here as well. So I'm very excited about this and to see what this looks like.
Did Chris Claremont write that crossover with the Titans?
Yes, he did.
Oh my gosh. Well, then maybe I have to buy it. I wasn't necessarily planning to buy the first one, but I'm going to have to mull that over. It is interesting that, like, the timing too, like, it seems like they were maybe near the cusp of making their own official announcement. Obviously, this seems like it's kind of thrown together haphazardly somewhat because they wanted to get ahead of too much of a rumor mill.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in August, yeah.
It does feel like it would have been something that maybe they would have just dropped on a previews, you know, like it's coming out soon. It's like 2 or 3 months away from a solicit for that type of stuff, although usually omnibuses are advanced solicited. But like in the omnibus game, you know, we have the near mint condition guy, you know, is dropping stuff that's coming out next January. So the fact that this is coming out in August is pretty quick. Not quick, but they were obviously holding it back and didn't maybe want people to know. I don't know, but usually these things are so far advanced solicited, and that's not what happened here. Now, I will say, because you asked, the New Teen Titans and Uncanny X-Men is written by Chris Claremont with artwork by Walt Simonson on pencils, Terry Austin on inks.
I could just read yours, but then I might want my own.
You could also just find, you know, that the original special, like, you can find it for reasonable prices. I think I was going to get mine for like $20, so you can get your hands on this thing, and it is a beautiful, it's supposed to be a really good story and a nicely put together project.
But this could be a higher quality, you know, with paper and so forth of a printing, so it might just be the better way to read it.
Better believe it will be.
And it goes without saying, I'm sure no one listening needs to hear this, but yeah, if you were at all interested, like, these are the kinds of things that come around in once in a blue moon, maybe sometimes twice in a blue moon, but we don't know how many more printings of these we're going to get, especially as the companies, Warner Brothers and Disney, perhaps become bigger competitors or there's more lawyers involved. So anytime this becomes a possibility, it's probably good to jump on it and not hope that they'll do another printing and not hope that you'll get it down the line. Like, I'm going to have to do it as a pre-order. I don't think I can, you know, I'm not going to see it in store, count on seeing it in store.
No, I mean, who knows, right? But I know Paul had joked, like, oh, I'll get it in 4 years at BMV for $60. I'm like, I don't think this is going to be at a warehouse. I think this is going to be, you know, they're going to print it. They're not really sure maybe how many people are going to buy it, but I think it's going to do well. It does bring up the question of, you know, what kind of, do they reprint it? What legalities are involved? There's been scuttlebutt that I saw the other day that apparently the big reason that this has been in the works for years, apparently, that both sides wanted to do this, but the one person who kept saying no was Ike Perlmutter.
Of course, who
would not let it happen. And so apparently, like, that was the major an impediment, and now it's gone. So now we are getting this collection. Now, I mentioned that there was a very big, notable exclusion. No JLA Avengers. Mm-hmm. And that was one I was hoping for. I would rather have it in its own trade. God knows I don't want to pay $200 for it, but I do want it in trade. It feels like if we're getting this, we have to be getting that at some point, right? Like, it just feels... Bizarre.
It seems like a no-brainer, way more than the second grouping of Amalgam books would be. But if they're going to give us this first grouping, it feels inevitable that at least if this sells to their satisfaction, we'll get the second group of Amalgam books. And then yeah, absolutely. Then what are we looking at? We're looking at a few Wildstorm books, right? We were talking before about like the 13th issues of the Heroes Are Born books, and how we would get those Wildstorm crossovers. Is there not a Gen 13 Fantastic Four crossover in this collection? Or there's not at all. There's no,
nothing like that. This is just classic Marvel DC stuff.
Okay, so yeah, that's other stuff hanging out there that in the ether that we'd love to. Would be great to get that collection of if this goes well.
Yeah, I don't have the right at hand the full list of the stuff that's missing. Apparently from the Amalgam stuff, I can just looking at it. I know that there was two versions of X Patrol. There was like the original one and then there was like a Uncanny X Patrol. There's only one here. I believe JLX isn't listed here at all. But again, there's so many books. It's possible that they just didn't include it in the official announcement. Like, it doesn't need to be nefarious. It's over 1,000 pages. We've seen that from the Penguin Random House listing that was active as of today. But yeah, the whole thing is shocking. But if you look at the last 5 years, think about the stuff that Marvel has started publishing that we didn't ever think would happen.
Yeah.
Like ROM? They did. Well, I was going to get there, but first they had like Masters of Kung Fu. Like, that was a huge mm-hmm. deal. They mm-hmm. did, you know, all those Conan omnibuses when they briefly had the license back. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting ROM. They're just announced today through Near Mint Condition, the next two omnibuses of Micronauts coming out later this year and early next year. So like, that's, mm-hmm. you know, Micronauts for a lot of, and ROM for that matter, were those books that people were like, well, they're never going to be reprinted. So you have to just find your own collection. And now it's actually happening. And so, mm-hmm. you know, in some ways, maybe we shouldn't be surprised that this is happening as well. But it's happening. I mean, what's left on the, you know, never going to be reprinted list? Is it going to be like, I guess the Ultraverse stuff, you know, with Prime and all those guys, like that's in a vault somewhere. I mean, CrossGen's finally getting omnibuses, and they've held onto that IP since what, 2010 or something? Or I guess when Disney bought Marvel, Disney already owned the CrossGen catalog. So since 2009, Marvel has had the ability to do CrossGen stuff, and it took what, 13, 14 years before they actually made omnibuses of the original material. So it's really fascinating to see, you know, as that list of the stuff that will never be reprinted shrinks and shrinks. But yeah, I never actually thought this was going to happen. I wanted to hold myself back from being too excited when I saw the thing from Barry. And then obviously the firestorm of speculation the next day. And then I guess Marvel and DC just had their hands tied, and they had to do it. So they just, you know, dropped the official announcement a lot faster than I would have expected. So it's very exciting.
It is really exciting. And when we were listing off a bunch of the books we hoped that would be included or could imagine being to be included, this is really almost the entirety of what we had listed. This is a significant effort. I had worried at first, just kind of thinking about Barry's initial post, that and worry is the wrong word. Hesitantly optimistic that it might be a small collection, something like testing the waters. But to see them go so, you know, hog wild with this is really great. I think I have to get both. I'm going to go back and forth on this, but I might be getting both.
So we know that the U.S. price is $150 list. So, I mean, that's pretty typical. And so we can look at, like, I think a lot of omnibuses start in Canadian, usually on Amazon and those types of places, around $175, and then they usually creep down. So I would imagine you'll probably, if you get a good pre-order, probably get it down to like $110, $120. It's going to be expensive. But it's a, you know, I never thought this would happen. You know, like I can just own all this stuff. Like, that's the stupid thing, right? I have every Amalgam book except for one. Like, you know, I don't need this material, but to be able to have it on my bookshelf, I don't have to have it in singles. I don't have to, like, you know, go find the right long box or the right box of comics. I can just have it in the bookshelf and pull it out and just go back to the 1990s. It's amazing. So I just never thought it would happen.
and stuff like this. And again, I don't want to be like all speculation and whatnot about financials, but this is the kind of thing that I think is safe to say that if you were so inclined, maybe in a few years' time and go, I don't have the shelf space, you could probably sell any of this stuff. Certainly Master of Kung Fu and the Conan and the ROM and stuff at a price greater than you bought it. I'm not saying you're going to send your kids to college on it, but this is certainly something that like you get now, you enjoy it, and maybe you always keep it, but if you have to part ways with it, you could probably get back your money or maybe even a little bit more, because I think that, who knows, it could be another 15, 20 years and people are begging for more of these books to come out or be available, and that those cries have fallen on deaf ears and there's eager collectors. Again, I'm not saying this about we're trying to get money out of this. This is first and foremost, I would say, for reading in my book. But if anyone's hesitant, I would just say just jump in.
Yeah, I mean, it does bring up the question too. Again, what is up with JLA Avengers, right? Because that is such a notable exclusion. Now, years ago, I don't know who actually ended up publishing it. There was in 2004, like a nice big hardcover JLA Avengers Collector's Edition. So maybe they're holding it back to do like a reprinting of that, or that was originally, I think, a slipcase. There was like a compendium, and there was like the main event. So maybe that's why they didn't put it in the omnibus, because there's, 288 pages that can just be done on their own. I don't really care how I get it. I just want them to do it. I want it to be reprinted in some format, so I just don't have to take out those singles every time. Although, again, I own them. I shouldn't really complain, but I would love to have them in a collected format. So if they're going to bring back a nice, hardcover volume, that would be awesome. I mean, I guess they didn't. What more is in the pipeline too, right? Like, that's the big question too. Now that we're getting all this, and now that the Amalgam Age does not appear to have everything, why are the exclusions? I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, is it not? I don't know the page count of the volumes of the issues in the first volume, but it seems like just from the list of books that the second volume has a lot more content in it. Like, if they're the same price, then I'm clearly wrong. But just there's more books listed. So, why not just kind of sort them into three volumes instead? Or why leave out JLX unless, of course, it's just an error? Or maybe they're saving JLX for the JLA Avengers book that's all four issues of that, plus they just throw in JLX there because they're like, we don't know what to do with this.
So the crossover omnibus, the crossovers themselves were all much longer than a regular issue. So that's the main reason why you have like half the list, because you have double the page count for a lot of these.
Okay.
So that doesn't surprise me. I think I saw it this morning. I believe the page count on the first one is like in the 900s, and then I think the Amalgam one is in the thousands. But it's like maybe 100 pages difference. Looking at the amount of issues in the Amalgam Age omnibus, though, not remembering exactly how many pages each one was, I think it's possible that there's not enough pages based on the pages or the issues that are listed here, and that we will end up getting more. But it's a good question, and we won't. Mike Carlin's very funny, because I had asked him, is it possible you're doing an intro? And he was very coy about it. And then even after it was announced, he was still being very coy. I'm like, they announced it. Like, I've said it that they've announced it. And he's like, I'll believe it when it's in my hands.
He's a consummate professional and a bit of maybe, I don't know, a realist or something in that way. But yeah, that is funny that he's been so careful not to mention anything.
Well, and I had joked, and I said I laughed when I saw the news, because he had to have known when we had our interview like less than like a few weeks ago, but obviously he can't say anything. And he's like, I can't say anything about anything. And I'm like, I know that. My point is, you must be laughing inside when I'm asking all these questions about an event that I'm going to be able to reread in collected format within a matter of months. So it just made me laugh a lot inside that he must have had a fair bit of joy. And he must have also wondered, why do you want to talk about this now? Do you know what's happening?
Yeah, maybe one of the reasons why he was, I mean, obviously he's happy to talk to you, but another reason could just be like, he's trying to suss you out. He's like, I'll report back. I'll let them know.
Right? I knew nothing.
No, it's just serendipitous.
Well, thank you for joining me for this very quick, breaking news story. I really appreciate you talking about this. I'm so excited for this material. I can't wait to, I don't do unboxings or anything like that, but I will do an episode where we just talk about the omnibus, and I'll have you come to my house. We'll do it in person. We'll just hold these omnibuses in front of us, and it'll be awesome.
And you can hold the spines and the pages close to the mic and just turn them for the listeners.
Oh yeah, it's ASMR, man. Someone will love that.
I would.
Yes, you would. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. You can email me at comicshenanigans@gmail.com. Rate the show on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Listen to us on Spotify. And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.